Kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino.
Kasama ko ngayon para sa Melbourne Food and Wine mula Pilipinas, si Erwan Yusuf. At ating pag-uusapan ang kalamansi. Magandang araw, Erwan.
Hi, everyone.
Bahagi ka ng kalamansi story. Ano yung nagpukaw or what made you interested to become part of the story?
I think it's when I was here in Melbourne for a year during lockdown, and I realized that there were a lot of calamansi trees around the city with a lot of fruit that remained unpicked. And so that piqued my interest, and then I talked to Grace and Fides, and they were telling me how people here would exchange calamansi trees and kind of really have a hard time to look for calamansi. So it was really something that kind of rooted them in terms of their culture and reminded them of home. And so we started talking about that, about how that exchange happened here. But also when I went back to the Philippines, I realized that not much was written or talked about in terms of calamansi, even though that it's so prevalent, it's absolutely everywhere. And so I thought that that contrast is really interesting in terms of a story and something that's so often taken for granted in the Philippines, but that's something that's so prized in Australia or for the Filipino diaspora in general. And so, yeah, when we started producing a documentary, we kind of started finding really interesting facts and parallelisms and really try to connect kind of like the homesickness of people who live outside the Philippines to the Filipinos in terms of how important calamansi is.
And you've lived in different places as well. So how has becoming immersed in this story changed the way you see things or changed the way of you being Filipino?
So yeah, I've lived in Thailand, Russia, China, Vietnam, Philippines, France, for various work positions most of the time. Most of my time has been spent in the Philippines though. And I personally, when I'm in the Philippines, you know, I'm constantly immersed in Filipino cooking because that's what we do. We do a lot of documentaries about heritage products, about farmers, about people there. And for me, I mean, because I see it every day, it's not that I take things for granted, but I'm just so immersed in it that for me, it's so accessible. Filipino food is so accessible. But then the more I talk to Filipinos in different provinces, the more I realize because of how our country is shaped, a lot of people actually don't know about each other. Like different IPs or different ethnic groups or different provinces might not know what each what they're doing in terms of food. And then you come to places like Australia or the US and you see that also there's kind of like this disconnect in terms of wanting to know more about your culture but lacking the information to do so. So what we try to do with video is to try to bridge that gap and try to make people really proud of their heritage and really curious about, you know, what's happening in the country but also what's happening outside of it.
Is this something that sparked your interest? Because I followed your Fat Kid Inside blog, and from there you've grown into like a YouTube video, and now you're doing feature, and I've seen all the videos you've been doing. It's about going to a place and connecting to the place through food.
Yeah, so I mean, I started as a hobby. It was mostly a written blog about weight loss because that's the experience and the journey I was going through at the time. I realized that the best way to communicate food was, unless you're eating it, is to shoot it with video. So I started doing video 12, 13 years ago. And then as kind of like I grew and I matured a little bit, I started doing more recipes. And then from recipes, I wanted to connect that recipe to a person, to time, to a place, to history. And the only way to do that is to talk to people who are making it. And then the big change from Era One to Feature was because I realized for the longest time, it wasn't about me. It was always about something else, right? Even when I started about weight loss, it was trying to help people. And so the change to Feature made a lot of sense because I wanted to not be on camera all the time and feature the real heroes cooking the real food. And so now what we do is we just go off to different provinces and try to shoot 8 to 9 videos there, whether or not I'm in it. And it just showcases kind of like the diversity of the country, the problems we have in the country, but also the beauty that's there.
How has it changed with your relationship with food?
It's made me kind of like more appreciative of it and more understanding of all the baggage that food carries. And so now kind of like when I eat very consciously, understanding each of the ingredients that go in there. I try to make an effort to understand where the ingredients come from, but also the subtleties of it. I think when people cook Filipino food, a lot of the time, they focus on what's wrong. Oh, you can't do, like, we all have titas and lolas. You can't do that like that. That's not how you make it and everything. But recipes in our country are passed down generation. So there's no one way of making anything. And it's really wrong to think about that. So I always tell people, when you cook Filipino food, instead of focusing on what's wrong, cook with what feels right. And the flavor will come through eventually, right? So everyone has their own way of doing things. And I used to be very scared of changing Filipino recipes because people would think they're untraditional. But now I have so much more confidence because I have a deep understanding of the history of the dish, the ingredients of the dish. So I feel like with that understanding, it allows us to kind of be a bit more creative and understand how does everyone in the Philippines know about this food, and how do we reach an international audience with it?
I've read somewhere when people ask you, you don't recognize yourself as a chef.
Yeah.
But I've been watching you and following you. The way I see you is like a storyteller of food, of someone who knows how to cook.
Yeah, I never liked boxes. In university, I took up business, and then after university, I handled a bunch of restaurant groups and large catering companies. So I was corporate, and then after that, I started doing video, but I'm not a filmmaker. I've always learned through experience. That's how I learn. It's by getting my hands dirty, trying something out. And so I would never call myself a chef because, one, I'm not formally trained, and two, I've never worked long enough in a kitchen to be able to call myself a chef. A chef for me is someone that manages a brigade that's in a kitchen cooking for people day in and day out, 7 days a week. I can't do that. So I'm just really a home cook who just is really interested in the food that he's cooking.
But you are a good storyteller.
Yeah, I mean, I've always loved to write. And you could see that in my first blog. It was really writing-based. And I feel like a good video starts with a good script or a good outline. So it really comes down to the writing. And I just love being able to find the peaks and valleys of stories and the intricacies, and how do you make it sound and look challenging, and how do you keep people interested. And especially nowadays, you know, we're so used to short form content and a lot of content that doesn't challenge you to think. And so what we try to do is we always balance out our short form content, but ideally we're trying to push people to watch longer form things so that they can really dig deeper into subject.
When I watch you, I always want to eat, but I'm not a cook. I don't like cooking, but I always want to eat. Where do you get that gusto from?
I've always loved entertaining. One of my favorite things to do. I'm not a fan of going out. I'm not a fan of big crowds. I'm very introverted, but I love having close people that I love and that, you know, I care for, come to the house, and I love cooking for them, and I love using them as guinea pigs in terms of the food I make. And I started doing that when I was 8. I started cooking multi-course dinners at home for my parents, and then my parents would invite their friends, and then I started cooking, like, I remember one when I was 10, I cooked like a 12-course meal for New Year's for 20 people, and it was really just me cooking, and my parents would support it because they thought it was so much fun. And yeah, so it's something for me, that's where I kind of get the love for cooking, is when I see a direct reaction of the people I'm cooking for. And that's why I got into cocktail bartending for a while and opened cocktail bars, is because I love being at the counter playing with Filipino fruits and tropical flavors and being able to serve that drink within 2 minutes to a customer that's in front of me and getting that direct feedback and interaction.
Would you say being at your place, living with you, would be like going to a restaurant every day?
No, so I'm very busy during the week, but ever since having a kid, I make a conscious decision not to work on weekends. I really try to cut down my hours more and more to give me that time to be able to cook at home. And yeah, I mean, so during the weekends, yeah, I've always done barbecues, invited people, and the food that I make at home is just, it's fun. It's not, when I try to cook, I try to challenge myself. So it's always trying to step it up a notch and try different techniques and gadgets.
Maraming salamat, Erwin, and see you again next time pagbalik mo sa Melbourne.
Salamat, thank you.
I-like, i-share, mag-comment, sundan ang SBS Filipino sa Facebook.